Welcome to the CLS Experience. I'm your host, Craig Siegel. I'm a born and raised New Yorker who achieved success with multiple businesses, but I crave something deeper. So I dedicated myself to personal growth and transformation by revamping my mindset. I went from being unable to run a mile to conquering four marathons the following year. Now, I want to help others manufacture big breakthroughs of their own.
I can tell you the best stuff in my life came out of the absolute worst stuff in my life. Like the experiences I got from that. And people talk about confidence a lot. You know, you can't build, people are like, what book should I read to get confident? You can't build confidence out of nothing. Like if you've never done anything with your life, why would you be confident? You know, you have to build it by doing hard stuff and going through obstacles and continuing to go on. I will tell people I'm a very confident person now because I know what I'm good at, I know what I'm not good at. And I know one thing, and that's you cannot break me. I have been to the abyss and stared into it, and I didn't blink.
On today's episode of the CLS Experience, we have a very special treat. He's one of the world's leading authorities on nutrition and exercise science, and he makes complicated content become extremely digestible, no pun intended. He's a scientist, a pro natural bodybuilder, a raw elite powerlifter, and a physique coach, no big deal. He's an expert in biochemistry, and he has a PhD in nutritional sciences, adding to his massive credibility. He's a super entrepreneur, and his wealth of knowledge is second to none. He is the master at calling you out on your BS, and his books will penetrate your soul. He's just a juggernaut in all facets of life and a terrific human being. Please welcome the impressive, brilliant, entertaining, and handsome, dynamic Lane Norton. How you doing, Lane?
That might be one of the best intros I've ever gotten. Thank you so much, Craig. I appreciate it. Hopefully I can live up to that.
I'm so glad I did good by you, brother. And I appreciate that. I take great pride in it. But as I always like to say, it's your story. You wrote it. I just said it.
I appreciate it.
Hell yeah. Look, we probably could have chatted for an hour before we record, but at some point it's like we should save this juicy stuff for the show. The podcast is exploding. The brand's blown up. So I want to say this to the community and the audience right now. If you guys are not familiar with Lane, my suggestion is do a deep dive. Check out all his information, all his content, everything he's got going on. Play catch up. What I think's most valuable today is we just have an unbelievable conversation. Before we dive in, we're going to get a little weird. You ready for me, Lane?
Let's do it. I like weird.
What is your superpower, brother?
My superpower? I think you kind of pointed out, I can take complex topics and make them pretty palatable for the average person. So I really see my role towards helping people is kind of acting as a bridge between hardcore science and the average person who just wants to have practical take homes of what they can do to improve their health. And there's so much mixed messaging out there. I really try to provide a lot of clarity for people.
And you do it an unbelievable job of it, because some of the science terminology and stuff can sound a little complicated. And I think to the average person that might want to educate themselves on fitness and nutrition, they get intimidated and then they just stop wanting to learn. But you simplify it to the best I've ever seen it, if I'm being honest.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I tell people, I feel like, especially with what I do with calling out, you know, false claims and a bunch of BS in the industry, I actually think that's, you know, really important. And people have said, why don't you just focus on your stuff? Why do you have to call people out? And I think the point is that it's so confusing to the average person, because here's a doctor saying this and here's another person saying that. Everybody seems like they've got credibility. And I'm saying, okay, but here's what the evidence says. And here, by the way, I've got the receipts. Here's the actual evidence, right? And so I think that's actually incredibly important, because there's really no, when it comes to especially like the nutrition and fitness industry, there's very little regulation. And I'm not necessarily calling for more regulation. I don't know if that always solves things. But I do think it's important that when real experts see stuff that's false, that they identify it as false. And I think there's been a lot of people who have said, hey, I wouldn't be willing to do what you do, which is kind of stick your neck out and call some of these heavy hitters out. Because they worry about the repercussions and, you know, those sorts of things. And I know I've gotten turned down for various appearances because somebody who was a big wig who knew somebody else didn't like me or didn't like that I called them out. So I actually feel like it's really important, because otherwise, how are people going to be able to decipher what's real, what's not?
That's it. You nailed it. And it's very obvious to me right out the gate that, like, I know you're doing very well, but this isn't like about money. Like, you want to help people. And for you to help people to the best of your ability, you have to point out what's what and maybe what's not what, right?
Yeah. When it comes to money, I've always said, like, I kind of have two takes on it. The first is, if our companies are doing well, making a lot of money, then that's great because we're doing it within our value system, which means we're helping a lot of people. But we take the approach of, how can we help the most amount of people possible by solving problems? And if we do that, we're going to make money. Like, as long as we're not stupid about expenses, we'll make money. So, and I mean, to be honest, I've already done better than I ever could have imagined I would have ever done. Not that I don't want to hunger for more. By some people's accounts, I'd be really wealthy. And by other people's accounts, I'd be, you know, a pauper. But I think, you know, for me, it's just, you know, how much money do you need? For me, it's about the experience and helping people. And I mean, that's, you know, it probably sounds cheesy, but it is the truth.
No, same, brother. And ironically, like, when I stepped into this space and reinvented myself, I didn't do it for the money. I was doing well for myself on Wall Street. But as it turns out, and I'll just talk about this and then we'll dive into a lot of your stuff. As I figured out, one of the laws of the universe is, when you do a really good job and you add value, the money tends to be a byproduct because it's an energetic exchange.
Yep. Especially if you're dealing with stuff like in a space where, if you're talking about finances, there's tons of people who need help. You're talking about nutrition and exercise. I mean, you know, my target audience is the world population. You know what I mean? Like, that is my target audience, because I think everybody wants to look better, feel better. I can't imagine one person who doesn't want any of those. So one of my good friends who's in one of our companies says our target audience is the population of Earth.
That's awesome. And I agree, right? Because that's why this conversation today is going to be so powerful. And I was really looking forward to it, because no matter where you're at on your journey, I imagine your health is important to you, because without it, what do you have? VMI Sports is the premier and fastest growing brand in sports nutrition, bar none. Their products help me clang and bang in the gym and facilitate consistently faster PRs, marathon after marathon, no big deal. A few products that I personally want to brag about are as follows. The KXR pre-workout, full dose of beta-alanine for strength and endurance, and has ingredients for cognition and focus, having me sharp as a tack. I also want to mention their Protolite protein, consisting of 100% whey isolate, which is easily digestible and facilitates hydration. And my personal favorite, has the best flavors in the market, such as vanilla cake batter and cinnamon crunch. If you want to combine feeling and looking like $1 billion in all facets of life and during your workouts, go to VMISports.com, use code CLS, and thank me later. I only partner with the best. You dig?
Exactly. I make that point all the time to people.
Yeah, this is awesome. There's so many places we could take this conversation. I just want to be the most efficient with the time. So I'm going to hit you with a couple nuggets that I think are important. Talk about the power of placebo and the power of belief, especially with like supplements and stuff.
Yeah, so I think that this is really important for people to understand from a few different perspectives. The first being, I'll get a lot of people say, well, I tried this and it worked. And I'm like, well, worked compared to what? Okay. Like, that's always important. One of my favorite kind of philosophers, or I guess he was an economist, Thomas Sowell, he always said, if you're going to make a comparison, or if somebody's going to make a claim, always say compared to what? Because lots of stuff works. That doesn't mean that it's effective, because there may be more effective options, right? So I think when people hear the word placebo, they think something not real. They think that people are lying. So the placebo effect is essentially the power of suggestion, right? So let me give you a basic example.
Please.
If we wanted to do a study and we had a group of a dozen people who we were going to give a pill that could be a performance enhancer, whatever, versus a group that was getting nothing. The problem, if we see results in the group getting the whatever pill it is they may think that just because they're taking something, they may actually improve. Whereas the group getting nothing, they know they're getting nothing, right? Now, I think people will hear that and they think, oh, well, placebo is made up in your mind and it's just a feeling. No, no, no. placebo is an actual physiological effect. And I'll give a few studies to just highlight this. So there was a study where in the fitness space where they told people they were getting steroids, had them resistance train versus a group that wasn't told they were getting steroids. And the group getting steroids, even though they never got them, had significantly greater increases in muscle mass and strength than the group that wasn't told anything. Okay. Another example is there was a study where there's a hormone called ghrelin, which is a hunger hormone, essentially. And I may butcher the particulars of the study, but the overall crux is going to be accurate.
Got it.
And they looked at, okay, who are naturally high secretors of ghrelin and low secretors of ghrelin? And so there's some polymorphisms on genes that you can identify to see who's going to be natural high or low secretors. So they identified those, but then they randomly told the people whether they were high or low. So meaning you had low people told they were low people told they were high people told they were low, and high people told they were high. Okay. And what they found was it didn't matter what their genetics were. It mattered what they told them. And they actually saw people's levels of ghrelin change. Now, this is a hunger hormone that's regulated by, you know, systems that are not, you know, it's not a voluntary system. It's not like I can be like, I'd like to secrete more ghrelin, and then all of a sudden you can. But because they believed something, their body actually responded. So, and I'll give one more example of this.
Please.
They did the same thing with creatine. So basically, either gave people real creatine, gave them a placebo, and told them it was creatine, you know, those sorts of things. What they found was that the placebo was just as good as giving creatine. Well, sorry, not the placebo. The placebo that they said was creatine was just as good at increasing strength and muscle mass as actually giving creatine. Now, people will misinterpret that to say, well, that means creatine doesn't do anything. No, because we know if we give just a straight placebo where we have two groups, one group gets a placebo, one group gets actual creatine, the group that gets actual creatine does better. But when they're given a placebo and told it's creatine, they do just as well as creatine. So what does that actually mean? What it means is creatine does work, but your beliefs about what it does are actually more powerful than what it actually does. So once again, this is shown in research literature that placebo effect and the power of suggestion have basically a drug-like effect. If you can get somebody to believe something, the body will kind of follow.
Is this not the key to life, brother? I mean, that's why they talk about thoughts become things, right? Because you believe it, and talk about self-belief and so forth. So for the audience listening, I imagine this will surprise a lot of people, but because I'm so big on frequencies, vibrations, and belief system, it makes sense to me, but it's also fascinating to see scientifically or proven by facts and so forth that it even applies to the physicality and your physique and so forth and strength and mass.
Yeah, I'll caveat this one thing with belief with execution. You can't just believe something into being. But I think if you're somebody who executes consistently, you end up believing in yourself because you just go through it, and there it is. I gave a motivational speech last week where I said, over-planning has killed more dreams than failure ever could, because people just don't want to do. They use planning as an excuse to procrastinate, and they never actually just go. And I'll say, you're better off going and having absolutely no plan and just throwing yourself in the arena, and you will learn so much just through sheer massive will if you don't give up. So I do think mindset's very, very important. But, you know, I think that belief is
very important.
Got to get in the arena. Yeah, absolutely. So I think belief is great, but also, like, if you say you believe it, but you've never executed, it's probably false belief. So it has to be true belief. Like I say, I tell people, one day I'm going to sell an arena for a seminar. Okay. I believe that, but I have a lot of execution in the previous, you know, 20 some years of my life to make me actually believe that that's going to happen.
Yeah. That's already done. Time just hasn't caught up yet. I mean, you're on fire and you have so
there you
much
go. Momentum.
Hell yeah. But also, and to pull back one of the other Lane hits that I know you love, and I heard you talking about this because I was doing homework for this episode because I wanted to show it the respect it deserves. And also, I'm a fan. You said this, and I absolutely loved it. You cannot hack your way around hard work.
You can't do it. I mean, people have been trying to do it since the beginning of time, and I'll use examples in any other industry. Yeah, like financially wise, yeah, you got people who they hit lightning in a bottle, crypto, whatever, blows up, and they make a bunch of money. But that is 99.999% of people who become successful do so with the fundamentals. You know what I mean? They work very, very hard. They apply themselves and they just don't give up. I mean, like that's, I know it's like a rah-rah speech, but I'll tell people like, do you really believe if you put in a decade of work at something and you don't quit and you don't count the cost, that you're not going to be significantly better off than you were when you started? I mean, I'll tell people all the time, like maybe you don't get what you originally started out for, but sometimes the path takes you a better direction. Like when I started in this, I wanted to be a world champion natural bodybuilder. What I got now, I think is way better, way more better, impactful. Way more impactful.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So I'm so grateful that like my path did deviate from where I was going, but I never would have got on the path if I didn't just start doing.
Same.
And I think I've been around enough people who were way over planners and way under executors that I just saw this consistent, like, you know, you have to go and you cannot, yes, you can have a plan, but guess what's going to happen to that plan as soon as you start executing? There's going to be unforeseen stuff that you cannot ever plan for that is going to come up and divert you relatively quickly, most likely.
Yep.
So you just have to, I'll never forget, Mark Zuckerberg was given an interview about entrepreneurship and they asked him, what mistakes should entrepreneurs avoid? And he said, don't even bother trying. It's impossible to avoid mistakes. Just be ready to learn and adapt quickly. And I think that applies to anything in life.
Yeah, hell yes. So good, brother. And people think, they look at my brand and so on, and they think it was an overnight success. Number one, I've been utilizing personal development 15 years. I just finally put it together. But also in the beginning of the pandemic, when everybody was doing, or I should say most people were doing a lot of Netflix and day drinking, I got to work. Right. 17, yep. 18 hour days. And I was building it. I want to make the most of this time. I want this to be action packed. So I want to hit you with a couple real quick. So I run marathons now, which I'm super excited about. The reality is I don't do anything just to do it. I want to do it great. But as I'm learning, these things are a full-time job. And it's just, I'm not all in on running. I'm all in on this, on my fiance and other things, but I am passionate about it. And one thing I know I could do better at, brother, is being able to access the energy of the foods that I'm eating. What is your position on how do you get energy out of the foods you eat?
Well, that's kind of the whole process of metabolism, right? So I think a lot of people have really misunderstand when we talk about calories. So for example, a calorie is not a physical component of food. Okay, so calories refer to the energy available that's stored in the chemical bonds of food, all right? So a calorie is simply a unit of measurement of energy. So we can use the term energy interchangeably with calories, right? And so it's a measurement of a unit just like second hands on a clock, just like miles per hour on a speedometer. So when it comes to that kind of stuff, the entire process of digestion, absorption, and then metabolism itself is what extracts that energy and puts it into a form that your body can utilize, which is mostly the form of what's called adenosine triphosphate or ATP. ATP is what powers most reactions in your body, most cellular reactions. Now, I tell people ATP is kind of like monetary currency, right? So you and I, for example, like if I want to go in and get a new pair of shoes, like if we don't have any kind of currency exchange, well, if that person doesn't want to hear about, you know, a nutrition seminar, I might not be able to get that pair of shoes, right? But we've ascribed a value to a currency that allows us to exchange it in different places, right? That we may not have been able to 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, whatever it is. ATP is kind of the same thing because you can't just have like little micro explosions all over your body to power these reactions. So what you do is you create this high energy molecule where the metabolism of this molecule essentially can drive these reactions. And to create that molecule, essentially, you may have heard the terms glycolysis, the Krebs cycle, oxidative respiration. That all exists in order to generate ATP, which can then be used to power those reactions. Now, what digestion does is it takes a whole food and breaks it down into its chemical components. So, for example, during the digestive process in the stomach, for example, when it comes to proteins, you'll have hydrochloric acid and pepsin and pepsinogen. Those are going to take those big proteins, unfold them, and start chopping them up into smaller amino acid sequences. Then when that hits your duodenum or your small intestine, you have other enzymes that come in, further chop it up. And essentially what ends up getting into your bloodstream out of that intact protein is like single amino acids, dipeptides, tripeptides, and some shorter peptides, but mostly very, very short amino acid sequences. And then with carbohydrate, you're basically getting it down into the single saccharides like glucose, fructose, you know, in some cases, there's some other things. But, and then in the case of lipids, you're taking those lipids, you're breaking them down, emulsifying them with bile, and then those are packaged into what are called chylomicrons, delivered into the bloodstream. And then once all that stuff gets in the bloodstream, it starts getting picked up by various tissues, and then they do their own metabolism on it in order to generate ATP.
So we dropped the mic, but we're just getting warmed up.
I go much deeper into it, but I'd probably start losing 90% of the audience.
but brother, you have a way of articulating it that's very impressive. And because you can do that, and imagine it's a skill you develop, you're helping a lot more people, because I would have typically got lost, if I'm being honest. But I was with you the whole time, and that's so valuable.
Well, Einstein said, if you cannot explain something simply, you do not understand it.
Correct. Nutrition Solutions offers the best healthy meal prep options for health, wellness, weight loss, and improved performance. The customer service and support at Nutrition Solutions is unbelievable and second to none. And when I travel for my marathons, the meals are waiting at my hotel. I don't even have to break a sweat. Even their protein donuts and breakfast items are made with fresh, organic ingredients. I love Nutrition Solutions' reliability, quality, and all-around lifestyle that they represent, which is world-class. To get both physically and mentally fit, go to NutritionSolutions.com and use promo code CLS25. Thank me later, you dig. Yeah, and for you, this stuff is pretty simple. Yeah.
I mean, you can always get into the weeds with it, but in general, so I think the reason I got that way was my PhD advisor was fantastic at being able to do this sort of stuff, relate this sort of stuff. His name was Don Lehman, absolute legend in protein metabolism.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was giving my exit seminar, you know, it was a public defense. So there was mostly scientists in the room, but there were people like my mom and, you know, other people who were like just part of the public. And I asked him, I was like, well, who should I, you know, write the seminar for, you know? And he said, I should get something out. I should learn something from your seminar, and your mom should learn something from your seminar. So he didn't let me get away with the idea that I just pigeonhole. He wanted me to be able to relate to everybody.
That's awesome. And you're doing it, brother. And I want to acknowledge you again for that. I appreciate it. Yeah, hell yeah. And I'm so proud of you, by the way. It's fun to watch, like I said.
Thanks, man.
This is a question that I know literally everyone probably wants to know the answer to. I know it's a little general. How do you actually lose body fat, brother?
So I'll take the 10,000 foot view, and then I'll go actually into like what actually happens, right?
Let's do it.
So in order to access stored body fat, you have to create an energy deficit, meaning you have to take in less energy than you expend. So people have heard the term calories in, calories out. Now, that can be confusing to a lot of people because they confuse it with the idea of they tracked calories and observed what happened to their body. So some people might say, well, that calories in, calories out doesn't work because I tracked my calories and I didn't lose weight and I was eating in a calorie deficit. Well, usually I'll be like, so you weighed every single piece of food you put in your mouth for a week and you didn't lose weight? And then you'll use, well, you know, because I'll tell people, most people underreport their caloric intake by 30 to 70%. So obese people tend to underreport by about 70%, anywhere from 50 to 70%. Lean people are closer to like 30%, but even dietitians underreport by 10%. Now, that can feel very attacking for some folks because they'll say, well, I'm not a liar. I don't think people are necessarily lying in these studies. What I think is they are horrible estimators of what is actually in food and portion sizes. And I'll tell people, if you want to be depressed, go pull out a food scale and weigh out a serving of peanut butter, weigh out a serving of ice cream, weigh out a serving of cereal. I promise you, you will be shocked at how small it actually is. Most people, if they have a bowl of cereal or ice cream, they're eating 3 to 4 times the number of servings are listed on the side of the container. So they might, some people might just eat a bowl of ice cream and say, okay, well, that was 150 calories because that's what it says on the side of the box. No, it's probably more like 400. So I think this all contributes. And also people don't tend to like track their snacks and those sorts of things. So let me just be very clear since we have a short time here.
Sure.
Calories in, calories out is what predicts whether or not you gain or lose weight. Now, we can't perfectly track calories in, and we definitely can't perfectly track calories out. But if you are eating at a certain level of caloric intake over time, over several weeks, and you're weighing yourself consistently at the same time, and your average weekly weight is not dropping, then you are not in a calorie deficit. Now, you may have been in something that an online calculator told you would be a deficit. You might even be in what should be a deficit. But you are not in a deficit if you aren't losing weight. And the example I'll use is I think all of us would agree that if you want to save money at a fundamental level, you must earn more than you spend. Nobody's going to argue with that.
True.
Right? But it can be very difficult to track your expenses, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you have fluctuating expenses.
True.
It can also be very difficult to know exactly how much you're going to have coming in, especially if you have investments, right? And then you can start to get even more complicated with inflation and things like that in terms of how much your money's actually worth. So what I would say is like tracking calories as a tool can be helpful, just like tracking your expenses as a business or personal can make you much more aware of your spending habits. But you may not actually know exactly what you're taking in or exactly what you're spending, but you can get close enough to be where it can be very, very helpful.
Understood.
And I'll tell people, you know, I would never expect people to like weigh out everything they eat for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
But doing that for a few weeks can be very eye-opening, just like keeping a budget for a month can be very eye-opening.
Yeah.
So again, it has to be looked at as a tool. Now, on a more microscopic level, a lot of people ask me, well, what happens to body fat? Like what actually happens? So on an adipose tissue level, your adipose tissue is your body's stored body fat. You're always storing fat and burning fat at the same time. Okay. What determines whether or not you're going to lose or gain fat will be, is your rate of fat burning exceeding your rate of fat storage? What determines that is your energy balance, whether or not you're consuming less calories than you're expending. So what happens to that fat? Well, it undergoes a process called lipolysis where the stored triglyceride, which is the storage form of fat, is liberated to form free fatty acids. And those free fatty acids can be delivered to other areas of the body. And they can then be oxidized through a process called beta oxidation, where you produce a molecule called acetyl-CoA, which is then goes into the Krebs cycle, which then produces ATP through the process of the Krebs cycle and oxidative phosphorylation. Now, the end products of metabolism, interestingly, besides ATP, are CO2 and water. Okay? So essentially what happens to stored body fat in terms of a weight perspective, so how you actually lose weight, is you breathe out the CO2 and you pee out the H2O. Now, I've had people say, well, I'm just going to breathe more and breathe out more. And I'm going to like, no, it doesn't work that way. And, you know, drinking more water is not going to facilitate more weight loss either. But those are kind of the end products of metabolism. So it just goes to show you how eloquently your body is put together that those two things are already, you know, they're so easy to get rid of because it's something we do already anyway.
Yeah.
But the one thing I want to hit back on is the idea of the fat balance so that, you know, you have to burn more fat than you store. And I hear a lot of people getting really confused about diets because they'll say, well, this thing increases fat burning. This thing increases fat oxidation. Like the low carb diet, it's very, it increases fat oxidation, increases fat burning compared to a high carb diet. That's true. That is true, but that's only one side of the equation. And where it's very important to understand when you're comparing like a low carb versus a low fat diet, if protein and calories are equal, is yes, you will have significantly more higher rates of fat burning on a low carb diet. You will also have a much greater rate of fat storage because you're eating more fat. And on a low fat diet, you have a much lower rate of fat burning, but you also have a much lower rate of fat storage because you're eating less fat. Now, the reason being, your body doesn't really store carbohydrate as fat. Carbohydrate almost is exclusively stored as glycogen or oxidized once we eat it. Now, when carbohydrate's being oxidized, you don't oxidize much fat. But since carbohydrate doesn't get stored as fat, really, like less than 2% of the carbons that wind up in adipose originate as carbohydrate. So because it's not really stored as fat, even though fat burning is reduced, your overall net fat balance of whether or not you gain or lose body fat once again boils down to calories in versus calories out.
Wow. You're such a stud. So there's that. No, this stuff is so, I feel like I'm in science class from back.
There you go.
With a charismatic teacher, no less, which is awesome. Just off the cuff, curious, how many hours before you go to bed is your last meal?
I usually eat pretty soon before bed, but that's because I just like to eat before bed. it doesn't really matter in terms of like for example, daily energy expenditure, so your calories out, it doesn't. Like, you know, there's very little evidence that, you know, changing your bedtime meal will change how many calories you expend. And so it's not going to affect your body composition.
Yeah.
There is some evidence that eating too soon before bed may negatively impact your sleep. But I'll tell people, hey, like, you know, if you're having trouble sleeping, maybe move your meal back, you know, an hour before bed, 2 hours before bed. But if you find that you sleep just fine, there's no reason to adjust it. In fact, I'm somebody, if I'm even a little bit hungry, I cannot sleep. So for me, I like to have a relatively good sized meal before bed. And I've done that for a long time. But some people will say, you know, I don't like something on my stomach before I go to bed. It keeps me up, you know, that sort of thing. I think that's fine too.
Yeah, agreed. In regards to metabolism, brother, this is an interesting question. Is it genetics, or can you do things to maybe manipulate your metabolism to work a little bit more for you as opposed to against you? Or some people, for whatever reason, it just is what it is based upon genetics and so forth.
So when we talk about metabolism and metabolic rate, usually what we're referring to is something called your basal metabolic rate, your BMR, which is basically how much energy does it cost to keep the lights on, like run your organs, run your nervous system, you know? So we're not talking about exercise, because if we talk about total daily energy expenditure, your metabolic rate is a big chunk of that, but it's outside of things like physical activity and the thermic effect of food. So I think that's important to keep in mind, right? So when it comes to basal metabolic rate, there is some genetic variability, but on a population level, we don't really see big differences. And in fact, it certainly does not explain obesity. So when we look at, it may explain individual cases. There may be some people with genetic abnormalities where they have a lower metabolic rate than usual, which could contribute to it. Like people with hypothyroidism, I think in the research literature, the greatest difference I've seen is people with hypothyroidism may have a reduced metabolic rate by like 25%. So if your basal metabolic rate, like for me, my BMR is around 2,000 calories a day, that might drop me to say 1,500 if I was hypothyroid. But again, there's still physical activity on top of that, which is still a big portion of your daily energy expenditure. So when we look at obese people or people with type 2 diabetes, in research studies, they actually have higher rates. They actually have higher metabolic rates on average. Now, those folks also have just higher overall body mass. So when you correct for their lean body mass, there's basically no difference between lean people and obese people in terms of the metabolic rate. In fact, if you look at the correlation, it is very tight. Your lean body mass is almost, not the exclusive, but the by far the major predictor of what your BMR will be. So the best way to increase your BMR is to increase your lean mass. And when it comes to other things you can do, because really your BMR is one part. That's kind of your automatic, so to speak. But there's also ways to improve your daily energy expenditure, and activity is one of them, obviously. Like being more physically active is going to increase your energy expenditure. Resistance training is going to increase your energy expenditure and help you build lean mass, which over time is also going to increase your BMR. So resistance training is probably, you know, one of the best ways to increase your BMR. Now, if you're looking to go from somebody who's eating, you know, who has a BMR of like 1200 to somebody who has a BMR of 2000 by resistance training, I mean, you're probably going to be a little bit disappointed. It's not going to make that massive of a difference, but it will make a difference.
Yeah.
And the other thing that activity does is, on a whole, what we find, a lot of people think exercise makes them hungrier. And in individual cases, that may be true. But on a population level, on an average, people actually tend to eat less when they're active compared to when they're sedentary. Now, if you go up to like really high levels of activity, then those people eat more. Like there's an inflection point here. But it's kind of a J-shaped curve. If you're somebody who's sedentary, you'll actually have lower sensitivity to satiety signals. And if you become more active, you actually become more sensitive to your body's satiety signals. So I always tell people exercise is great for weight loss, but not the reason people think, which is, oh, I'm burning more calories, because you always burn less calories than you really think you do. But because it's actually a pretty powerful appetite suppressant in the research literature.
Interesting. This is crazy. This conversation, and just specifically what you're doing in the world, you're saving lives. I mean, how special is that?
I mean, I always tell people I get an enormous amount of fulfillment out of what I do. I get up every day, and maybe even like bad days, you know, like I'm going through some personal things right now. There's obviously bad days, but I always say I'm a very blessed man, because I don't have to remind myself of what my mission is. I don't have to remind myself or pump myself up. I know what's at stake. And so, you know, I really get a lot of fulfillment out of what I do, and I really enjoy it.
Hell yeah. Beautifully said, brother. And I hear you in regards to personal stuff. We're all going through something. But the greatest ROI that I can get today is that somebody listens to this conversation and breathes a little bit different oxygen, because you and I showed up and addressed some of these things. This is awesome. I have to ask you about this. I was looking at your content, as everybody should do immediately. And I saw this thing. What's up with this Let's Find Out tat that everybody's getting?
So I did a motivational speech last week for PT Domination, and that was in Canada. And I always have like a rough outline of what I want to talk about in a talk. But this particular phrase came from the heart, came in the moment. Because I don't rehearse my speeches, because I feel like it does better when I can be genuine and flow from the heart. And at the end of the day,
resonance, same.
If I'm speaking about my journey, I know my journey. I don't need to practice, right? And if it's about nutrition stuff, I know this stuff. I'll always remember something Jesse Ventura said in a debate. They asked him where his note cards were, and he said, "I don't need note cards to remember the truth." So I always remember that.
It's sick.
By the way, when he said that, that debate's over. So I use my slides as my note cards. You know, that's what triggers me. So I was giving this talk, and it was really, the core was about like, go just do hard stuff. Like, go do hard stuff. Yeah, you're going to stub your toe. Yeah, you're probably going to fail. You're going to get really frustrated. You're going to have tears. Like, you're going to be at the end of your rope. And guess what? If you keep pushing through all that stuff, you might not get exactly what you want, but you're going to get something really freaking good. I can tell you that. I can look back at so many hard moments in my life, and we don't have enough time on here for me to even go into a couple of them. But I can tell you, the best stuff in my life came out of the absolute worst stuff in my life. Like, the experiences I got from that. And people talk about confidence a lot. You know, you can't build, people are like, what book should I read to get confident? You can't build confidence out of nothing. Like, if you've never done anything with your life, why would you be confident? You know, you have to build it by doing hard stuff and going through obstacles and continuing to go on. I will tell people, I'm a very confident person now, because I know what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. And I know one thing, and that's, you cannot break me. I have been to the abyss and stared into it, and I didn't blink.
What was that? That's right. I can hear your thoughts. Have no fear. I'm going to tell you exactly where you can get weekly access to the CLS experience live in action. Drop in gems, nuggets, trainings, special celebrity and business mogul guest speakers, and maximum energy. We just launched the CLS membership. We have weekly Zooms with like-minded, growth-oriented juggernauts, networking and absorbing all the wisdom via weekly Zooms. Head to CultivateLastingSymphony.com and then bang, enter your new network today. Let's grow together. You dig?
So I know you can't break me, and that just gives me a lot of confidence, but I only got that through going through really hard stuff. And the way I got to go through hard stuff was, let's find out. And so when I say that, there's been a lot of times in my life where people have told me I couldn't do stuff, and my own inner thought said, I don't know if I can do this. And I am proud to say that every time I had that, I decided to go into the arena and say, let's find out. So for example, I got told very early on, you don't have the genetics for bodybuilding. You have chicken legs. They'll never grow. And even like, I've got pictures even of me like 4 years into hard training. I still had really skinny legs. I'll never forget this. And people on the bodybuilding forums used to make fun of me. They would make memes out of me, like, because I had such skinny legs compared to my upper body. And one day I said, you know what? Maybe I don't have the genetics. Maybe I'll never get to like a good leg development and be a good bodybuilder. But I'm going to put in 10 years of work. I'm going to put in a decade of work. I'm not going to count the cost. I'm going to put in a decade of work. And maybe at the end, I didn't get what I wanted, but I'm going to find out. I'm not going to let it be, because I always say people only quit things they're passionate about to protect their own ego. That's it. That is the biggest form of self-sabotage, because they can at least always go back and say, well, I didn't really give it everything I got, because it's so scary for them. Most people will work hard if they know there's a guaranteed outcome. Real badasses work hard when there's no guarantee. And that's, if you want to go after something that's really important to you, you have to be willing to put in all the work with absolutely no guarantee of an outcome. And so when I say, let's find out, it's okay, maybe I can't build good legs. Let's find out. So I got, just real quick to finish up that story, I was a week out from my first pro bodybuilding show, a drug tested bodybuilding show. And I was posing for one of the organization's judges, and I was describing how I like to tweak this pose to hide my legs because I know they're a weak point. And she looked at me and said, Lane, your legs aren't a weak point. You're not going to have the best legs on stage, but your legs are fine. Like, they're right in line with the rest of your body. And that moment was like so validating. I went and won the show the next week too. And it was so validating because it was like, I found out, I did it. It was 10 years. It was almost 10 years to the year after I made the commitment to myself, that's what I'm going to do. And then I went on, after I got into powerlifting, I set a world record squat in the biggest powerlifting meet in history up to that point, which was IPF Worlds 2015. So I squatted 668 pounds at 205-pound class, and I was actually 202 pounds the day of the meet. And my coach at the time was actually I coached him when he was younger in bodybuilding. He went on to be a great powerlifting coach. And when I hit that squat, by the way, there was all kinds of setbacks to get there, like back injuries, all kinds of stuff.
Just like anything.
And again, just kept going, got that squat. So when I came back from the drug testing, Ben, my coach, was sitting on a crate in the warm-up area, still where I'd left him. This is like an hour later, and he's like crying. And I'm like, dude, well, what's up? We did it. And he looks at me and goes, how did you just do that? I'm like, what do you mean? This is what we trained for. He's like, you were the kid on bodybuilding.com that everyone made fun of for having skinny legs, and you just set a world record in the biggest powerlifting meet in history. And I was just like, it's the work, man. It's the work.
Let's find out, baby.
Let's find out.
Yeah, the only negative.
No, I'll say, people, sorry to cut you off. I'll say, people,
okay,
maybe you'll never get what you want. Maybe it's not possible. But do you want to live with the pain of sacrifice or the pain of regret? Because when you're on your deathbed, I feel like you're never going to regret striving for something, because you're in the arena, right? You're going to learn so much. And even if you fail, you're going to learn so much about yourself going through that. It's not even going to be failure. It's just going to be a setback that you learn from and move forward with. So find out what you're made of. Like, let's find out. Maybe you can't do it. And all those things that people said to me were inner thoughts that I had as well. But I said to myself, let's find out.
Brother, your soul is lit. And what I was going to say is only negative I got going is we don't have 10 hours to chat. But trust me, it's just the beginning of the friendship. But first of all, I want to acknowledge you again. One of the reasons I gravitated towards you and I wanted to share with our audience, because aside from all the obvious knowledge and science, you combine that with this motivational, awesome attitude. And it's just a special package that you show up as. And I couldn't agree more. It's something that I always preach. And it sounds like you feel the same based on what you just said, is it's not even so much as the goal as it is who you become on the journey of going for it and getting in the damn arena.
Absolutely. You know what? The great thing about it is it applies to everything in life. And I'll tell people, like, people get so hung up on the X's and O's of nutrition, and they get so hung up on the X's and O's of training, and they get so hung up on the X's and O's of finances or investments or whatever. It's mindset, 99% of it. And are you willing to put in the work? Yeah, you can't just think about it. You have to go do. But mindset is so important. I have yet to meet a successful entrepreneur that didn't have like horrific setbacks happen to them. I mean, I could go on and tell all kinds of stories of the stuff I've been through. But at the end of the day, it's probably not going to look that much different than most people who have been gotten the position that I'm in, which is when you are striving for something, the universe isn't going to give it to you easy. And guess what the rub is? If you got it easy, you wouldn't even value it. No. So if you want to get some, I told people when I was going through that process of trying to grow my legs, somebody's like, "Man, don't you wish there was something you could take that was like, you know, legal, that could just, you know, take care of that for you?" I'm like, "No, why would I want that?" Like, the fact that it took me so much and it was so hard, that's what made it great. Like, when I look back, like, I don't like look at like my leg development and go, "Wow, that's great. I'm so happy that I get to look at these legs every day, or that I'm strong." I look back and go, "Wow, you never gave up. You pushed through all those boundaries, all those barriers, all your own negative thoughts, all the other negative thoughts of people. And you did that. You did that." And I think that is how you build true confidence. And it's one of the great, I'll tell people, I am so grateful I picked up a barbell one day because it taught me so much about life. And you know, I was the most unconfident, low self-esteem teenager. I got bullied. I never got attention from girls, you know, nothing like that. Who you see today, at my core, my heart is the same person, but I'm a different human because of the confidence I've been able to build by putting myself through hard things, bodybuilding, powerlifting, doing a PhD, entrepreneurship. And so now at the point, you know, when you do all those hard things, it just gives you like a calm confidence that, and I've been to the point where I lost everything, went back to zero, and built it all back up again better than before. So it just gives you a confidence.
And number one, you battle tested. Number two, what made you successful wasn't the thing, it was you. And I couldn't agree more. You know what's interesting? And then we'll end up playing with the final nugget. When I was younger, I really gravitated towards Arnold. I was so fascinated by him with the bodybuilding. Even though I wasn't a bodybuilder, I was so fascinated and captivated by how mental it was. Like with the pose and I was just, I don't know, I just gravitated towards that guy. And I ended up loving him for many reasons as he transitioned into different industries and so forth. But it always.
What you've seen is he's been successful in everything he's done.
Everything.
You know, like he just, because you take that and you just start applying it to other stuff. It's, and so that's why I tell people, like, yeah, the X's and O's of nutrition are important. But it's like, do you really think that if you just, you know, don't think about a special diet. If you just worked hard, you were mindful, you meal prepped, whatever it was to like get yourself to a better space, that you went and exercised, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, that you put all that energy in there and you did that for 10 years, do you really think you're not going to be in a better position than you are right now?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yep. And if bodybuilding, I was so fascinated because it takes discipline, right? And that is the key for success in life too, in my opinion. Yup, that's correct. Billionaire Mark Cuban is motivating entrepreneurs daily with his Three Commas line of apparel, accessories, and coffee. Three Commas has the softest suited crew tees, a great line of accessories, and the best direct trade Colombian coffee. Join the Three Commas Club on Instagram at Three Commas or visit their website, threecommas.com, to learn more. Thank me later, you dig?
I tell people all the time, people will talk about motivation. I'm like, to me, motivation is feelings. It's like the stock market. It's going to do this. You know what I mean? You're going to go, just trust me. There are days I wake up and I'm not motivated to go train, but I go train because that's who I am, right? One nugget I think would be useful to leave your audience with. Are you familiar with Ethan Suplee?
Sounds familiar.
He's a Hollywood actor. He lost over 300 pounds and kept it off.
I heard you talk about this story. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so when they looked at, and this can apply to anything, but we'll take it in terms of weight loss. So they asked people who had, researchers asked people who lost a significant amount of weight, like what they did, what was important for them. And one of the commonalities they identified that I was actually like not expecting was they all said they had to develop a new identity. Now, what does that mean? They had to become someone else. You cannot change your life while dragging your old habits and behaviors behind you. You have to shed them. And how do you shed them? Well, let's look at drug addicts because it's more apparent, or alcoholics. You can't hang around the same people anymore. You can't go to the same places anymore. You can't talk about the same things anymore. You have to become a different human being.
When you're on the road to recovery, you mean?
Yes, absolutely. So what I'll tell people when it comes to fat loss, weight loss, or if you want to build muscle, whatever goal you've got, think about in your mind, what is the person you want to become? What do you think that person's day-to-day habits look like? And then now reverse engineer that into your life and make those habits yours.
Yeah. I love to reverse engineer big goals. So good. Final log. I know you could probably talk about this for a while. I'm going to assume the audience is familiar. What is your personal position on keto and fasting and intermittent fasting and stuff like that?
So when we look at the research literature on the ketogenic diet or intermittent fasting, what it shows is that if you equate calories between like non-ketogenic diets, and if you equate calories like weekly calories, because there's different forms of fasting, you know, but sure. If you can't equate weekly calories and protein, because protein has an effect on energy expenditure, it's important to equate it. So if you compare these different diets, you don't see differences in long-term fat loss. So that a lot of people will hear that and get really ticked off because they want there to be this one magic diet. At the end of the day, there's no magic diet. All these diets work. They all work. What matters is what will you consistently execute? That's what matters. So you have people who diet hop all the time. They're looking for the latest and greatest. Now, I will say on a population level, they've studied this. They've shown that one, there's no diet that's better for fat loss when you equate calories between these different diets. Two, there's no one diet that appears to be better for adherence. So, but on an individual level, it does appear that certain people find certain diets way easier to stick to. Okay. So I've had people say, well, I did intermittent fasting and it just felt easy. I didn't even feel like I was dieting. I wasn't hungry. Same thing for the ketogenic diet. I've heard the same thing for some people for low-fat plant-based diets. You know, whatever you pick, right? If you want to lose weight or fat, you have to practice some form of restriction. Now, that can be portion size restriction. It can be calories, you know, making sure you're tracking calories, so monitoring restriction. It can be dietary restriction where you're restricting carbohydrates, restricting fat. It can be time restriction where you're restricting your food window. But all of them work through the same mechanism, which is essentially getting you to eat less food, right? But you have to do some form of restriction. But you should pick the form of restriction that feels the least restrictive to you. What fits into your lifestyle the most easiest? The most easiest. The most easy. The easiest. So for me, that was tracking calories because I like to be able to still have some like treats and like I love being able to have like a small bowl of ice cream every day, you know, that sort of thing.
Will you have a cocktail? Just curious.
Oh, yeah, I'll drink alcohol. Now, I don't do large amounts of alcohol, but the research shows that if you account for the calories in alcohol, it doesn't negatively affect fat loss as long as you're not consuming so much that it's like disrupting your sleep.
Understood.
Or, you know, those sorts of things.
Yep.
So, but like a few drinks here and there is not going to negatively impact your fat loss. The downside is people don't make healthy food choices when they're drunk.
True.
And two, alcohol is actually very calorically dense. People don't realize this because it doesn't have they'll say, well, this Michelob Ultra, it doesn't have any carbs in it. No, but it has almost 100 calories and you've got to account for that. And, you know, that's the same thing as basically 25 grams of carbs. I think for me, liking to have some treats, I'd rather track my food intake and make a restriction that way so that I can kind of have whatever I want within reason. But other people may say, you know, I hate tracking my food. It's really cumbersome to me. I'd rather just, you know, go low carb. Okay, great. If that works for your lifestyle, do that. But the research literature shows that there's no like physiological additional benefit to fasting or low carb diets once you've equated calories. The long-term research studies, the human randomized control trials show it very clearly.
Different folks, different strokes. Love it.
Exactly. I mean, I think that's great because that means, hey, you have all the tools in the world at your disposal that all seem to work well. Pick the one that works for you.
That's it. Hell yeah. This was awesome. This was time extremely well spent. The podcast, the brand is exploding. I say very humbly, we're about 4 million now. They're very loyal and engaging. What's the best way for all of them to support you, brother?
Yeah. So I think one of our best things out there, if people need help, we have a nutrition coaching app that I help write the algorithm for. It's called Carbon Diet Coach. It's only $10 a month. On the surface, it looks like MyFitnessPal, but it's not. It's you can track your food in there, but it also gives you nutritional recommendations based on your goal. And then every week you check in with the app and the app will actually adjust your nutrition based on how you're progressing to make sure that you keep progressing towards your goals at the rate that you want. So it's very much like a coach. If people need more support, we offer one-on-one nutrition coaching through our team BioLane coaches who are phenomenal. And I have like a supplement line, Outwork Nutrition. I have workouts on our workout builder. I do a research review. I do all kinds of stuff. I got courses. But the best way to find all that is just to go to BioLane.com, which is my website, and then follow me on Instagram and YouTube, which is all my social media is BioLane.
I love it. I'm going to connect with you after. My fiance is really into this stuff and she could probably use a coach or she's looking for a good one. How can I personally support you?
I think just what you're doing, get me in front of a larger audience. I appreciate it. You know, I was on Ed Milet's show. He said the same thing. I'm like, you're doing it, man. And maybe have me on again sometime. That's the best way you can support me.
Love Uncle Ed. Hang up for 1 second. I just want to connect with you after. Lane, I want you to know you're the definition of perspective, authenticity, and wisdom. I could personally guarantee that your best yet to come. Keep on spreading your wings and leaving your mark on this world. So much love and respect for you. Thank you so much for stopping by and dropping these priceless, juicy nuggets today, brother.
Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it, man.
That was too much fun, buddy.
Oh, you liked it? It was good?
It was great, bro.
Awesome.
I'm so proud of you. Straight up. Like,
thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I interviewed some of the world's biggest celebrities, entrepreneurs, people in the space, a lot of our mutual friends and so forth. But what you're doing is awesome. And you lead with your heart. And trust me, it's very obvious.
Thank you. Ed said the same thing, actually. You know, he's like, it's very obvious you're a very genuine guy. And that's honestly the best compliment I can get. You know, like I said, I truly, you know, I want to make money. I'm not going to pretend like I don't want to make money. But like I've always said, like, how much money do you need? You know what I mean? Like, I'm a very blessed man.
Yeah, but you have a lot of momentum right now.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to capitalize on it.
And you are. You ever come out to New York?
I haven't in a while, but I probably want to because I know, like, there's some good networking to do up there. Actually, Gary Vee reached out to me a while back, and I would love to get on his show at some point. So, yeah, I probably will find myself there at some point.
Okay, cool. Let's continue to stay connected. Let's support each other. I'll add you on Instagram I'll show you a message. And then also, can we exchange numbers?
Yeah, man. Here, I'll text you right now. What's your number?
Please rate, review,
and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow me on Instagram at CraigSiegel_CLS, the YouTube channel Craig Siegel, and our website, CultivateLastingSymphony.com, where you could sign up for our email blast with all free trainings on all of our content. The best is yet to come.